Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit MyFreeStyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Swing and a line drive left field. Benintendi coming on, dives, and did he make the catch? He did! He got it!
Here we go. It's time to party. Right here. 3-2.
High drive! He crushed it! It's a grand slam!
Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
Welcome to Benny and the Bets Podcast.
Can you believe it?
Here's your host, Terry Cushman.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Benny and the Bets podcast. Tonight, covering Boston Red Sox baseball, as well as a little bit of MLB-wide. If you're listening now on iTunes, Spotify, thank you very much. Red Sox basically, hopefully, getting into a busy week here after a very quiet offseason thus far. So, joining me tonight is Al Nahigian, who will be with us every early week edition of the podcast, mostly Sunday nights. Glad to have you with us long term at this point, Al.
Yeah, glad to be a part of the Benny and the Bets podcast long term. It seems like we just had good chemistry from the jump. I'm sorry, I don't have much energy right now. I just came back from the Pats game, even though it was disappointing. And but yeah, it should be a fun season. Let's put it that way.
Very interesting one, and possibly with a much different roster, versus what we trotted out the last couple. Also joining us tonight is kind of one of my teammates from Bosox Injection. You can find him on Twitter at Maximilian725. Max Bozikas. Max, how are you?
Good. How are you? Thank you for having me on tonight.
Yeah, no problem. Let's just dive right into it, guys. As I kind of alluded to in the opening, there's very much a lack of activity with the Red Sox, and with all these teams looking to buy, you know, all these people, these teams connected to Gerrit Cole and Anthony Rendon and some smaller signings already basically, you know, gotten done. Zach Wheeler with the Phillies, the catcher there, Yasmani Grandal with the White Sox, Braves pounced on Cole Hamels. Red Sox not doing a whole lot of buying, and I just don't really remember an offseason where we've been mainly sellers at this point. Al, what are your thoughts so far?
I mean, you pretty much hit the nail on the head. I mean, the Red Sox have not really been doing anything. I mean, obviously, there's been the rumors of Mookie Betts potentially in a trade, and now we're hearing the rumors about David Price or Nathan Eovaldi in a trade. So maybe, you know, maybe there's something in the works for the next couple weeks. Maybe we'll see something before winter weekend. But yeah, it's been too quiet, and not sure if I'm liking it a lot.
Max, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think that, obviously, Red Sox fans, we're not used to this. And I think that we kind of have to come to a place of acceptance that this team is just, they're punting right now. Not a lot going on in terms of buying. They're going to have to sell at least one of their starting pitchers. It's going to be a really depressing winter, I think, for Red Sox Nation.
Yeah, and which one's going to be easier to move, Price or Eovaldi? Both have 3 years left. Eovaldi at roughly $17 million a year. David Price, $31 million a year is his AAV. Also 3 years remaining. Which one's more movable, Al?
David Price, 100%, because Price obviously is better talented-wise, and obviously he still can be a main pitcher in a staff for a contending team, whether he goes out to the National League or, you know, an American League team wants to swoop in on him. I think he'd be better off the National League at this point in his career. But Price, you have to try to sell first because obviously that's more money off the books. You're probably going to have to eat some, but you're still going to get something. Eovaldi has too much of an MO of being injured throughout his career. Obviously, he was injured last season, which is why he didn't pitch that much in 2019. But it seems like Price would just be the right move.
I agree as well. I mean, when we traded for Eovaldi, a lot of people were looking at some of the advanced metrics and whatnot and how his cutter had kind of emerged. And I just never really bought into him. He's never been super stellar. You know, he parlayed that entire 4 year deal on three epic postseason starts. And I think his numbers are what they are. I don't think he's ever going to go on a run. I mean, I can't really think of another pitcher right now that got off to a slow start and then kind of reined it in and became, you know, that semi top of the rotation guy. And even though he makes just a little over half of what Price makes, I got to agree. I think Price is the better value. He has a better pedigree. And, you know, he's been there before. And you can kind of sell him on other teams that he's gotten that postseason monkey off his back.
Well, not only that, too, if you think about it this way, too, Eovaldi does have good stuff as far as an electric fastball, good breaking ball, etc. So if he can stay healthy, he can be an asset, even if Price does get dealt.
Max, who do you think is more tradable of the two?
It's easily Price. I think Evaldi's value got tanked after this past season. And with Price, I think an underrated factor that the Red Sox might look at is that if they trade one of these pitchers, they're going to have to sign two starters. If you trade Price, you have the ability to sign both a lefty and a righty, which gives them a little bit more flexibility. Whereas if they trade Eovaldi, they have to sign two righties. So I think in terms of them trying to sign two more starters on a budget, it'll make it a little bit easier for them to move on from Price. Not only will they save more money, but it'll give them some more flexibility.
If Price does get traded, shouldn't Dennis Eckersley be the one to drive him to the airport?
With the Patriots losing tonight, and I was looking through Twitter, that was the one tweet that actually made me smirk a little bit. So thank you for that.
Yeah, I tweeted that about an hour ago. Yeah, so we'll have to see what emerges, but you know, a move could be made on either guy. I could see a team like the Brewers maybe taking a flyer on a guy like Eovaldi, you know, one of those smaller market teams, but I think for sure Price is the guy to go. What about this, you know, kind of tidbit that a couple of reporters have mentioned? I think Joel Sherman was one, and I'm not sure if a Red Sox, I want to say maybe Alex Spear, but I could definitely be wrong there. What about the idea that the Red Sox might attach a guy like Andrew Benintendi to one of those two pitchers to kind of help facilitate the deal and entice more teams into doing it? Al, would you be supportive of a move like that?
Me personally, I wouldn't be, because I think Mookie's going to be gone this offseason. So if you get rid of Mookie and then you throw Benintendi in a deal with Price or with Eovaldi, then you're just depleting your outfield. Now, granted, Chaim Bloom is not big on Andrew Benintendi. That's what a couple of reports have said. So is it going to surprise you? I mean, if you have to shed some money off the books to keep Mookie long term, and you know Mookie will sign long term if that happens, then you have to do it. Then so do it.
Al, you're a little choppy with your audio.
All right, I'll see if I can fix that.
Max, what do you think about the idea, you know, of maybe attaching Benintendi to, you know, a trade like that?
I'm not a huge fan of the idea, but I think that if the Red Sox can add Benintendi to one of those players and then ensure that they eat less of the contract, then I'm for it. But otherwise, I'm not a giant fan of the idea because of the possibility of Mookie Betts being traded as well.
I hate the idea. I absolutely hate the idea. I mean, number one, even if we keep Mookie and say we trade Bradley, we don't have a ton of outfield depth as it is. You'd almost have to get back a major league ready outfielder in one of those trades. And I kind of take the opposite stance. I might actually try to extend Benintendi while his value is a little low, because typically he is a high average guy at or above 300. His OBP is typically in the upper threes. And I just feel like he will break out and he will get into that consistent groove. When Xander Bogaerts came up, he had all the hype in the world, you know, in a lot of different ways. You know, offensively, they thought he would have a lot more pop, you know, earlier in his career, and it took him a little while. You know, he was hitting for good contact in 2016, 2017, and then 2018, we started seeing, you know, the power just kind of ramp up, and luckily we got him at a bargain, but I think Benintendi could be one of those guys, and I would just hate to just give him away just to get rid of Price or Eovaldi. Who else do we have? Say Mookie or Bradley are gone. One of the two definitely will be. And I think Bradley definitely, you know, there's been a lot of teams checking in on him and a lot of reports. I mean, who do you have outside of Benintendi? I'm a huge proponent of putting Chavis out there, but who do you get to add to your depth?
I mean, that's the problem, especially because of how bleak the farm system is right now. They have nobody ready to come up from there, and so, like you said, they would have to get somebody back who can play in the outfield every day. I think moving Chavis out to left or something like that would be interesting, but I mean, in the event that it actually comes down to that, I don't know. I would rather just have Benintendi out there, especially due to the potential he's flashed.
I mean, as far as prospects go, who else can you really get rid of? Tanner Houck, maybe, you know, Tristan Casas, maybe. That's about it. This farm system's depleted. So I don't know who else you could give up, and I'm truly stumped.
Yeah, and Benintendi was open to an extension last offseason, but the Red Sox weren't in a position to do it. And, you know, in Bregman's contract, which was like 5 or 6 years at $20 million per year, they bought up a lot of his arbitration was a big part of it. So I think Bregman's deal only really added a year or two beyond what the team had for control, but that was the comp at the time. So I hope it doesn't happen, and there's nothing official confirming that the Red Sox are in fact trying to do that, but you know, we'll just kind of keep an eye on it throughout the week as things get hot and heavy. Also, what happened this week, Sandy Leon non-tendered. No, excuse me. He was not non-tendered. He was traded to the Cleveland Indians for a right-handed pitcher who hasn't pitched above rookie ball. His name's Adanis Bautista, and his ERA in his limited time in rookie ball is just over 10. So,
yuck.
Not much. Hey, David Price would be offended by that word. but yeah, so not getting a lot there. It was probably a move to clear, roughly $2.5-3 million off the books. How do you feel, Al, about not having Sandy around anymore?
I can take it or leave it. I mean, I guess granted, people said that he was so great with the pitching staff, but look at last year. They brought him back and the pitching staff didn't do much. And he can't hit his weight at the plate on either side, right-handed or left-handed. So thanks, Sandy Leone, for being a part of 2018, but it's time to move on from you. So I could care less. See you later.
He can't hit Garen Austin's weight either most of the time. But, Max, what were your thoughts when you heard the news that Sandy Leone had been traded?
Nothing but indifference, really. I mean, he already hit the nail on the head. He made no difference last year, despite everyone thinking he works so well with the pitching staff. But I mean, I think they can find a backup catcher who makes less and does practically the same thing.
I'm going to miss him a little bit. I mean, Chris Sale probably threw a tantrum, when he got the news. But here are the actual numbers the last three seasons, how the pitchers were with Sandy and then how they were with Vasquez. Chris Sale, 2017, 2.63 ERA with Sandy, 13.50 with Vasquez. That was a small sample size, though. 2018 with Sandy Leone, Chris Sale, 2.04. was 2.27 with Vasquez, and then in 2019, Sale was 3.79 with Leone, 6.68 with Vasquez. So remarkably, there is a difference, with Chris Sale. David Price, 3 years ago, 2017, did not throw a single pitch to to Leone, so nothing to go on there. And 2017 with Vasquez, Price was 3.45. Skip to 2018, he had a 2.37 with Leone, 4.68 with Vasquez. 2019 with Sandy Leone, Price was 5.59, 4.15 with Vasquez. And then finally, I'll leave it with Porcello here. Porcello was 4.47 in 2017 with Leone, 5.36 with Vasquez. 2018, he was 4.25 with Sandy. And then in 2018, pitched zero games to Vasquez. And then finally last year, 4.44 was Porcello with Leone, and then 6.37 with Vasquez. So the numbers are pretty stark. They definitely do like pitching to Sandy. The only reverse split in favor of Vasquez was David Price last year was better with Vasquez by basically a run and a half. So I can't sit here and say that was a terrible trade and the Red Sox are doomed, but they're going to miss him for sure.
But you have to be able to move on with Vasquez anyway, so it is what it is.
Yeah, and I think that, Chris Sale I'm not too worried about. He's shown he's capable of being a great pitcher without Leone. Just look at his career in Chicago. So I think that, as long as he can get healthy and adjust, I think he'll be okay.
Yeah, and I think the Cleveland staff is going to love him, and we'll get into the MLB-wide stuff in a little bit if we have time, but I will say, though, that I do expect the Cleveland Indians to have a huge bounce-back year. They got Corey Kluber healthy. Mike Clevinger pitched like an ace, last year. He spent a little bit of time on the DL. Hopefully, they'll have Carlos Carrasco back for a full season. He had leukemia, still does, but apparently it's under control. And then the emergence of Shane Bieber Adam Civale. I think they're going to find ways to get Leon, you know, catching some of those guys with Perez. And I think Cleveland's going to take that division, even if they trade Francisco Lindor.
Bold take.
That is a pretty bold take.
The Twins already lost Gibson, so they got to replace him. And he, you know, Gibson went to the Rangers on a 3-year deal.
Well, but then again, Terry, you're also not shy when it comes to your bold takes. So this is just expected of you by now.
I've never had a take below 100 degrees, I don't think. But
just ask all the Twitter fights you've had.
Yeah, so we'll see. And I love Francona, so, you know, if the Red Sox can't get there, I love to see his team do well. Getting kind of back into the Red Sox aspect of the winter meetings, if you could put a percentage on it, Al, you know, 1 to 100%, what are the chances Mookie gets dealt?
Before, like, so you're talking just winter week, or I'm sorry, you're talking just the winter meetings, you're talking, is that all?
Yeah, basically before Thursday by midnight.
I'm going to give it like a 20% chance, because you know what? I think that with the Red Sox, I mean, there was a report the other day that said apparently they weren't seeking a trade for Mookie, which is one of two things. I think they're either just trying to buy time to find the right deal, or, and it's a smokescreen, or they really don't want to trade him. So I don't think it's something that's done before Thursday. I just don't think they have the right deal in place yet. I think they're going to explore all their options before they pull the trigger on a trade.
What would you give it, Max?
I give it about a 5% chance, because we haven't heard any serious, like, thunder on a Mookie Betts trade yet. I think we'll hear some rumblings over the week, but I don't think anything will really pick up.
I'm going to go significantly higher. I'll put it at about 50%. A speculative article came out about an hour ago from the New York Post, and they're speculating maybe the Mets will make a play. They historically have not had a very good outfield other than the month and a half Yoenis Cespedes was healthy. And, you know, so that's kind of an interesting, you know, possibility. Their GM is in his second year, already kind of on the hot seat, Brody Van Wagenen. His wheeling and dealing can be a little erratic, so I could see something happening along those lines. The Reds have made some interesting moves. They actually signed Mike Moustakas this week on a 4-year, $64 million deal, so 16 a year is what he'll be making. I could see them looking, you know, potentially, you know, at an upgrade in their outfield to go along with Nick Senzel. But, you know, and then maybe, you know, the Dodgers, who knows. But, yeah, I'll put it at about 50%. And, Al, you did bring up basically what was the Jeff Passan report. And he did basically surmise that the Red Sox would be more apt to hang on to Mookie and then focus on trading, you know, Price and Eovaldi. And like you said, I agree. I mean, there could be multiple motives behind that. Maybe the Red Sox are just trying to give their, you know, starting pitching some momentum. And another team actually to look out for is Texas, because, you know, they got a new stadium being built and they've said they want to compete, you know, next year. So, and they're, you know, one of the front runners for Rendon. So, you know, maybe that's the direction they're going to go, but I think it could be an interesting week for Mookie.
Let's just hope he's in a Red Sox uniform when the week's over. Let's just hope. I don't need more bad news this week.
Yeah. I'm on the opposite end. That, to me, that's good news, but Max,
It can be good and bad. No, it can be good and bad. I see what you're saying. You're right about that. I can give you that.
Nothing petrifies me more than a $400 million contract, because, I mean, we're already screwed financially, so eventually that does come with consequences. And I really want to see what Chaim Bloom can do. You know, the he likes to wheel and deal and gets pretty good value, and I'd love to see that type of magic in Boston. I think we're always going to be a top five payroll one way or the other, but you know, we'll see how it goes. Max, what are your thoughts on Mookie? You a big pro Mookie guy? You know, do you want to keep him, or what's your mindset?
I've kind of accepted the fact that he's gonna be gone either way, so you might as well try and get at least something out of him. And I think that if they do trade him or let him go and, you know, don't pay him a ridiculous amount of money in order to potentially open up a window a couple of seasons from now to make another move and potentially go for another title, that's fine with me, because I think that at this point with Mookie, it's as good as it's going to get. You've already seen the best of it, and I just don't think that these long $350 million contracts work 99% of the time, so I'd be fine with a trade.
Yeah, you know, and then it'll be interesting to see what they do with Bradley if that happens, because that leaves Benintendi as your only outfield. We are thin in the outfield, so hopefully there's some ideas getting kicked around in the front offices. Kicking into MLB wide mode here, Gerrit Cole, Yankees have made an offer. Well, they're about to make an offer, according to reports. 7 years, $245 million. That's an average annual value of $35 million a year. That would make him the highest paid pitcher in baseball annually, as well as an all-time record, you know, as far as the life of the deal. Does it bother you guys that we might be seeing him quite a bit in the AL East?
I've just come to accept it, unfortunately, because think about it this way. You knew the Yankees were going to be in play this offseason for a big-time starting pitcher at the front of their rotation. Gerrit Cole fits in perfectly because he's a big name. They want to throw the money at him. And, I mean, look at the contract offer they're going to throw at him. Like you just said, 7 for $245. Typical Yankee contract. And, I mean, I know the Red Sox give him price $31 million. Yeah, I know all that. But the Yankees need it desperately, a frontline starter, and that's exactly what they're trying to do in getting Gerrit Cole.
What are your thoughts, Max?
I mean, it doesn't surprise me, but I've already kind of mentally prepared myself for it to happen. I mean, the Yankees haven't won a World Series in the whole 10 years. They're getting a little desperate. So won't shock me to see Gerrit Cole in pinstripes next season. I'll hate it, but it won't shock me.
Brian Cashman, Yankees GM, was like scaling the side of a skyscraper because he posted something at the top of it or whatever, and he's really doing everything he could do to try to get Cole to the Yankees. But I think the contract he ends up getting will probably be closer to $300 million. If a team's willing to go an eighth year at, you know, $35 million a year, that brings it up to $280 million. So a lot of teams have the need for him. The Dodgers no longer have Hyunjin Ryu or Rich Hill, so there's a need there. Cole is a West Coast guy. That's where, you know, he grew up. So there's a natural, you know, there's a natural comfort there. I don't know that he's in love necessarily with the Yankees. So I could see the Dodgers being a team that makes a play for him. And the Padres as well are under a lot of pressure. You know, their rebuild is kind of taking a while. They made, you know, the move for Machado last year, Hosmer the year before. So I could see them doing something a little erratic. You know, AJ Preller, their GM, is known to do stuff like that. And they did just add Drew Pomeranz as well. I think he's going to the bullpen. But those are a couple of teams that kind of fit, you know, maybe towards Cole's preferences. So I wouldn't say that the Yankees are definitely going to get him, but they're going to get somebody for sure.
Can confirm they will get a top line starting pitcher because they need it. Like Max said, they're hungry for a World Series, so it just seems inevitable at this point.
I also wonder, you know, how that contract could affect the Yankees in the short term. You know, the next year or two, it's probably not going to hurt them at all. They were over the luxury tax this past year, but they still have a pretty good farm system, a pretty good core of players. Looks like Gardner's going to be coming back. Not so much Gregorius, but there's a ton of depth there. Where I think if you want to be an optimist for the Red Sox, 3 or 4 years down the line, they're going to have to pay Judge big money. They're going to have to pay Sanchez big money. Gleyber Torres will be, let's see, not this year, but next year, he goes into arbitration. So after 4 seasons from now, he's probably going to be in line for a contract in the neighborhood of $30 million annually. So you got Judge, Sanchez, Torres. I'm going to put Luis Severino in that category, and I'm going to boldly assume, and maybe it's not bold at this point, that they are stuck with that Giancarlo Stanton contract. So I think they could kind of enter the same purgatory the Red Sox are currently in, and they went through this after the 2011 season. And so if you want to be an optimist, I think that is when the Cole contract can be a little bit painful for the Yankees.
It's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be fun to see what happens. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. And I think that's why the Red Sox are kind of punting on next year and possibly the year after, because they're getting ready for the Yankees to have to pay all those contracts and be stuck in the same situation that they are currently.
Yeah, and I mean, this coming season, you know, as far as the Red Sox are concerned, what are you going to get out of Chris Sale? There were reports this week he is throwing once again. Dr. Andrews has basically cleared him to resume baseball activities. You know, if we still do have David Price, what are we getting? How many Yankee starts is he going to chicken out of? Because he did that at least twice last season.
All of them.
Oh, was it all of them? And
I'm saying he will chicken out of all.
He'll
of
get
them.
A bellyache, or his pinky will be sore.
My tooth hurts.
Yeah. And then if Eckersley comments, then, you know, all hell's going to break loose. But so you don't know, you really don't know what you're getting out of Price. And then, of course, Eovaldi is a huge wild card. It's tough to feel good about the Red Sox rotation. And, you know, we talked about, or did we talk about Rick Porcello? I'm not crazy about him coming back. I get the fact that he's going to eat innings, but that's a roller coaster I'm kind of sick of riding. And I mean, if he couldn't pitch well in his contract year last year, I'd hate to have to rely on him this year. Because I mean, if Porcello has to put the Red Sox on his back because the rest of the rotation isn't pitching well, we're in deep trouble anyway.
This next season is going to be such a shit show, and I'm not looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be rough, but honestly, I don't hate the idea of bringing him back. He's as a number 4 starter or something like that. It's not like he's making $20 million anymore, so it's fine. It's whatever. I agree, next season is just going to be kind of, it's going to be a drag, but I think hopefully a couple of years from now, it'll be worth it.
Yeah.
Let's hope so.
Another thing too, is you need to shake up the chemistry a little bit in that clubhouse, and it's looking like Holt might not be back, which is more painful than anything to me, because his versatility just gives you so much stability in a lot of different ways. And he was pretty clutch off the bench in a pitch hitting role. And, you know, so. Is that alcohol you're drinking, Al?
No, it's water. If I drank alcohol, I'd feel even worse. So.
Okay.
Maybe during like a Sunday night game.
Yeah. So I don't know, but I guess we just kind of blew through everything really quick. You know, I didn't think I thought we'd be closer to the hour mark. Max, give me a bold prediction this week, whether it's Red Sox related or not.
A bold prediction. Wow, that's tough. I believe that David Price goes to the Rangers. I read something recently about how they are interested in trading for a starting pitcher. So I don't think it's a terrible fit. Like you mentioned earlier, they do want to compete next season. Price gives them a good chance to do that. So that's my prediction.
It's an interesting one. And there was a report that the Rangers were kind of looking at Red Sox pitching roughly a month or so ago. So, and David Price as well. I mean, for any team that misses out on Strasburg and Cole, I mean, Price is owed a lot of money per year, but it's only a 3-year deal and not a huge risk. And if we're going back to normal baseballs for 2019, much like we saw in the playoffs, instead of those balls that were flying out all season, I think that would play better in Price's favor because he can kind of go back to pitching to contact again, which is something I don't think many pitchers were comfortable, you know, with how many of them just ended up going over the fence. So if the stars align right, I think David Price could get a lot of looks for, you know, for those teams that miss out on Strasburg and Cole.
All right. Let's see here. A bold prediction for you, Terry Cushman. I got to come up with something really bold. Jackie Bradley Jr. gets traded and is no longer a part of the Red Sox, and he will no longer bring misery to my life. That is my bold prediction.
Wow. What did he do?
Max, if there's one thing you're going to learn about me on this show, and Terry can attest to this, I cannot stand Jackie Bradley Jr. with a passion.
All right. Good to know.
I hate Jackie Bradley.
I am on the same boat as Al. I think Al's driving the boat, though. And I'm just kind of...
I'm the captain of the boat.
Yeah, you definitely are. I'm tired of the painful slumps and the automatic outs. You know, it was nice to see him mash against the Astros a couple Octobers ago, but I just think if you are looking to refresh the chemistry a little bit, you know, and I think Bradley is a good trade candidate. There is plenty of interest in him. So I don't know how much of a bold take it is. And maybe if you're tortured like Al, it could be. But he could be gone. Here's my bold prediction. And it's not Red Sox related, but it could affect the Red Sox. The Tampa Bay Rays make a trade with the New York Mets for Noah Syndergaard.
Ooh. That is interesting.
Noah's leaving.
Very bold.
Yeah. That's why they pay him the big bucks.
The Mets were kind of shopping him last July, and they ended up getting Stroman. They still will have DeGrom, who could very well win his third Cy Young in a row. Steven Matz, if healthy, could, you know, contribute, you know, in a productive way. So you could make the case, and I don't know if there's like a clubhouse issue with Syndergaard. I know he's very outspoken. There was also an issue the season before last. They wanted him to have an MRI on, I think, his shoulder or something. And then in his very next start, in the very first inning, he sustained a pretty bad lat injury and, you know, probably should have just had the MRI like the team wanted. And so I think there could be some motivation to move on. And I think Tampa's really wants to bolster that rotation. Snell and Glass now both on the DL for much of 2019. But, a little bit of reinforcement there, could really make them, a dark horse for the division win. So
you guys see Blake Snell's comment to Tommy Pham getting traded when he was on Twitch?
Go ahead, Max.
I don't remember exactly what he said, but he basically said he didn't like it. I don't remember what he said specifically.
I'm going to find the exact quote. Terry, say what you were going to say. I'm going to find that quote.
I know that he wasn't a fan of it as well, but I didn't end up listening to the audio. And it was a surprising move because I thought they got a steal by getting him from the Cardinals a couple of trade deadlines ago. And he was a solid contributor last year and, traded to the Padres. So, interesting.
So the quote from Blake Snell, and he was streaming video games on Twitch. The quote was, we gave Pham up for a Renfro and a damn slapdick prospect.
Love that.
But I heard that, I couldn't help but chuckle.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It was too perfect of timing.
Yeah, showing a little bit of personality there. You know, you don't hear too much out of those Tampa guys. And he wasn't a fan of it. And it was a surprising move. So I get why he was probably surprised. They did get Hunter Renfro back in that deal. And Renfro can mash, but he's a strikeout machine. And his OBP is pretty low. So I guess I can see why, the Padres were looking to make an upgrade.
I mean, I like Pham more than Renfro, so I understand why he's upset, and I'm glad he put a little edge to himself because Tampa Bay needs it out there, so good on him.
Yeah, and I saw Pham on MLB Hot Stove, I think it was, and it was only maybe a week and a half ago, and he was talking very optimistically about the team, and he seemed happy to be there, and they just shipped him. So kind of a cutthroat world. But any final thoughts before we wrap?
Can't wait to see the winter meetings, and can't wait to be at Red Sox winter weekend to see if anything big happens.
Excited to see what happens. I don't really expect a ton, but hopefully we get something to talk about.
I'm just doing a quick MLB trade rumor sweep right now. That's where I get a lot of my stuff outside of Twitter, but no, it's all Hall of Fame talk by the looks of it. Marvin Miller was elected by the Veterans Committee, and another old school guy that I admittedly am not familiar with. Was it Ted Simmons? So, you know, the one guy on the list a lot of Red Sox fans were looking at was Dwight Evans, but he fell 4 votes short, which is a lot because there's only 16 guys on the committee. But Marvin Miller, Ted Simmons, we'll go to Cooperstown. So we'll touch on the Hall of Fame though on another show. I think that gets announced in January, and Al and I'll fight over steroids, like much like I have my previous host. So
beautiful. Well,
all right.
Look forward to it.
Guys, thanks for coming on, and I don't know. I think Jason Kelly will be with me later in the week, but there will be a show on Thursday night for everybody listening to kind of recap, and I won't rule out an emergency podcast if a big story were to break in regards to the Red Sox. So have a good night, everyone, and take care.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. Get up to 35% off select major appliances and save an additional $1,000 when you buy four select LG major appliances. Plus, get a free DeWalt 20-volt max 5-amp-hour battery when you buy a select DeWalt 20-volt max tool. Get the job done for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/26. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See associate or Lowe's.com for more details and qualifying items.